Proverbs chapter 6, beginning at the 6th verse. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travelleth, and thy want as an armed man. We'll end our reading at that 11th verse. And our Father, we end it with a prayer that thou wilt bless this public reading of thy word to us for Christ's sake. Amen. Returning again to the book of Proverbs for our study. And one of the most oft repeated precepts that Solomon gives in his book of Proverbs is the worthiness and the excellence of work. A few Sunday mornings ago, in another context, we saw the importance of that, that we saw that it was by hard work, by labor, by toil, that increase came, that we were able under God to accumulate our substance. But from another context, just now, I want us to consider this very same thing. For instance, if you turn back to Genesis chapter 2, away at the beginning, even before there was a sin, even before the fall took place in the Garden of Eden, there was such a thing as work. Notice chapter 2 and verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And then verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So before the fall happened, before the devil came on the scene, work had to be done in that perfect environment. And by the way, there'll be work to be done in heaven. Heaven is not a case of sitting around all day and lolling about doing nothing. The Bible says, his servants shall serve him. So we're going to work in heaven, and we better get practicing it down here. So we learn in another part in God's Word, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where Paul, writing to the believers there, was very, very earnest in telling them that they had to work. Verse 11, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we have commanded you. It's a good Christian testimony to work. It's a good practice generally, whether we're Christians or not, to work. Now, if Solomon is so forward in highlighting and commending the importance of work, he's equally forward in denouncing and exposing the indolence, the laziness, the inertia of people. In fact, he calls them by something that's not too complimentary. Notice verse 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Notice again verse 9, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? And time again, he denounces the sluggard for his laziness. Whenever we're going through the book of Proverbs, we may notice this. I'll give you the references anyhow. For instance, chapter 20, verse 4. This is what Solomon says. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. If the conditions are not ideal, if they're too cold for him, poor fellow, he knows nothing about a bit of circulation going and getting his blood warmed up by hard work. You will also notice the word sloth occurs in the Bible, in Proverbs. And you will notice, if you take a concordance, that in some instances it's the very same word translated sluggard. So you don't need really to have much understanding to know that a sluggard and slothfulness will go hand in hand. And in these verses that we have read earlier, Solomon is concerned to correct this terrible condition. And he does so in a most interesting and instructive and striking manner. And I want us to notice these verses and see Solomon's wake-up call to the lazy. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 to 11. I want you to notice three things concerned in this wake-up call. First of all, there is the example that the sluggard is to consider. Verses 6 to 8, let's read these words. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. There's the example. A tiny, insignificant creature is the ant. And yet, he's going to teach man, who is, according to Psalm 8, superior over all God's creation. And the ant is going to be the teacher of a man. And the sluggard is so far gone in a sloth that he needs a little ant to teach him. There's a lesson there for us all at this stage that we can all learn from the insignificant things of life. It would be good for us to keep our eyes open whenever we're out and about. There are many things that we can learn. Solomon was an expert at that. And he's directing his son now to go study the ant and learn about how to be a good worker and not to be a lazy person. Notice three things about this example that he refers us to concerning the ant. First of all, the ways of the ant. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways. Those who know tell us that the ants possess great initiative. Certainly Solomon is saying that here. They have no guide, nobody to give them direction. No overseer, nobody to come and inspect their work. No ruler to prod them and to goad them into doing what is right. The ants are marked by their initiative. Ants are also known by their discipline and determination. They keep at it. Again, those who know, and I've been reading up on this, I'm not going to go into all the details with you at all. It's really only as it concerns this aspect of our sloth and sluggishness that I want us to consider the ant. But we are told by those who know that the ant is disciplined. It will not be easily put off if it's put off at all. This is well illustrated in ancient times by a certain king, Timur. And this king was defeated in a battle, and he was separated from all his warriors. And he got into this old ruined building, and he sought for shelter. He was lonely, he was afraid, he was disappointed. All that comes with losing a battle, all those emotions were wrapped up in his life. And as he sat there feeling sorry for himself and wondered how he was going to escape, he noticed an ant going across the floor or the ground and making its way up a wall. And the ant was carrying something as big as itself. He noticed it making its way up the wall and then dropping. It tried again. It tried again. It tried again. It tried 69 times, the king counted, and it fell each time. But it tried the 70th, and upon the 70th occasion, it managed to get up to the top of that ruined wall and make its way along the top of it. It gave him great heart. But that, to us, is an example of determination and resolve. Her ways, she possesses great initiative and great determination. But notice, secondly, about this example, not only the ant's ways, but the ant's work. Solomon says, she provideth her meat. She was not depending on handouts. This ant was not depending on others to come and feed her. I want you to listen to these words from 2 Thessalonians this time. Now, these are apostolic, these are biblical words, and they're written to Christians especially, but they have relevance to us all. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, 11 and 12. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Ladies and gentlemen, are you a sluggard? Are you slothful? Are you not working at all? Are you expecting others to come along with handouts? That is not the New Testament way. Now, very often we've had reason here over the years to deal with or make reference to the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And we are told that the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it, we are not to do any work. But there's another side to that. The Lord says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. There has to be work, friend. If we're able at all, if we have health at all, we ought to be on the lookout for work. These ants, I'm informed, can build houses, a house in an ant's reckoning, 40 stories high, 20 above the ground, and 20 under the ground. They have miners among them, they have masons, they have carpenters, they have soldiers, they have nurses. They have every conceivable kind in order to tend to one another. And Solomon says, I want you to go to the ant and learn how to work. Let me ask a Christian man or a Christian woman here, are you an ant or a sluggard when it comes to serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you just on the periphery of things, on the circumference? You've never really got involved in the Lord's work. Oh, there's so much wanting, so much to be done. We should get involved. This is for us, as well as for the young men that Solomon was thinking of. The ant's ways, the ant's work, and then the ant's wisdom. Notice what he says in verse 8, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. Now for the ant, summer and harvest time was the time of preparation, whenever the ant could accumulate all the food. Now, in winter time in Bible lands, it wouldn't be as cold as over here. There would be a lot of rain, and the food that might be available then, the ant could not get at it. So what the ant did, it realized, it had this instinctiveness, this is the time to work, this is the time to gather up, so that whenever the evil day comes, we'll have a store led by. And my dear friend, we should do the same. Once we give our tithes and offerings to God, and He must come first, and after the government received its dues and taxes, we ought to be setting aside an amount against the evil day, old age perhaps, or perhaps whenever work may not be so secure. Bible teaches both thrift and savings. After our duty to our God first and the government has been taken care of. This is what God's Word teaches. Again, we are told in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. Let me read these words to you. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. The ant does this, and Solomon says, go to the ant, consider her ways, and mark her wisdom, the great foresight that the ant has. Ladies and gentlemen, for you who are not saved in this meeting, you are now in the summertime and harvest time of things, your life. You ought to be seizing with both hands the opportunities that are presented for you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because the winter time is going to come of insensitivity to spiritual matters, impairment of memory, hardening perhaps of the arteries as well as of the heart, sickness and ill health that will take over, and you'll not be able to think about your soul. And then to be stirring the finality of death as far as this life is concerned. You will have no time then. You'll not be able to gather then. You need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior now. Be wise like the ant. This is your summertime. This is your harvest time. You seize the opportunity of being saved that's presented to you and receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith to be your very own. The example that is to be considered. Then I want you to notice the second thing about the sluggard. The exhortation he is to hear. Notice verse 9. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? This is couched in the form of a question, more like an inquiry, but it's really by inference an exhortation. What Solomon is saying is, how long do you intend to go on in this lazy, indifferent, apathetic, indolent condition? Get order into your life. Start getting organized. Get out of this rut that you've been in. Start looking around. Take the initiative. If you can't get work offered to you, go out and look for it. Get something to do. Be of some use. Be of some help. There is work if we want it. Let me address my remarks to God's people in the spiritual sense. Are you inactive? You're sitting on the fringes? Does it not matter to you that people are lost, going to hell? Does it not thrill your soul if you hear of people being saved? Are you apathetic with regard to the many needs associated with this church? Could you be described as the sluggard in that, or as Amos describes those in the 6th chapter of his book when he says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Is there a denunciation upon us? A woe. What you should be doing, my dear friend, is go to the Sunday school superintendents and the Friday night children's workers. Ask them, is there anything I can do? Can I be of any help to you while you're carrying on this burden of teaching these children every week the things of God? With so much activity here with guest singers and preachers and special functions, the ladies could be doing with help in the kitchen. Could you go there and say, is there anything I could do? Could I make a contribution? Could you not go to the elders or committee and say, listen, I want to do something for the Lord. I'm offering myself. Could you show me what I can do? There's always help required. And Solomon is saying, when are you going to waken up to the need all around you? Get out of your sloth and become diligent. And for you who are not saved, the call comes out like a clarion as well. We find it in Ephesians chapter 5. What words there are here. This is what he says in verse 14. Awake thou that sleepest and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He's calling you, my dear hearer. Those of you who have sat here year after year on this plot of ground, some of you many years, and you're so sluggish in your ways. You come and go from the place of the holy. You never seem to have any concern. Waken up, man! You're nearer to the fires of hell today than you've ever been in your life. And you don't know how long of life you have left. You remember the story of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. They were all going to the wedding. The Bible says 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The 5 that were wise had oil in their lamps. The 5 that were foolish had no oil. They all fell asleep because the bridegroom delayed his coming. But then the cry come out, the midnight cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. The 5, they all woke up. They all rubbed their eyes. Where are we? Then they realized, oh, we've got to get our vessels lit up. But the 5 had no oil. They were shut out altogether. Ladies and gentlemen, you need oil in your lamps. You need Christ in your heart before it's too late forever. Receive him now while you have the opportunity. The exhortation to heed. The example to be considered. And then notice lastly, the evil that the sluggard is to flee. Verse 10. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travelleth, and thy want as an armed man. And let me be very forward to say that there are people poor in the world today, not because of any fault of their own, but because of unfortunate circumstances, earthquakes, the tsunami, death, famine. Different parts of the world have rendered people in a terrible situation, and through no fault of their own, they have become poor. And then there are others who are outwardly poor, but they're spiritually rich. Solomon recognizes this in the Proverbs. There are a couple of Proverbs to that end. But James has this to say, "My brethren, God hath chosen the poor of this world, but rich in faith." A man or a woman can be poor in circumstances, but be rich in the things of God. There's that kind of poverty. Solomon is not speaking about that poverty. He is talking about the poverty that comes because of the folly of people and the way they live. For instance, we read that the drunkard will come to poverty. We read that wrong company will bring somebody into poverty. This is what Solomon tells us in the Proverbs. And then, here, in this particular passage, sloth will bring people to poverty. I want you to notice two things about this as we close. First of all, it will assuredly bring people to poverty. Notice what he says in verse 10. "So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth." Now, a person who's traveling is a man or a woman of purpose. He's getting from A to B. He has a destination to go to. He's not meandering about. He's there with a purpose. He wants to get to his destination. And poverty's on the lookout for those that he can waylay. And if he sees the sluggard and the slothful man, he's on to him right away, and he finds him to be an easy prey. Poverty's on the lookout for you, according to this metaphor. But notice something else what we learn. Not only does it come assuredly, but it comes irresistibly. Notice verse 11 again. "So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man," a highwayman. Olden times, there used to be people lying in wait for stagecoaches to come by, or rich people to be traveling on horseback, and they held out the pistol, and if they didn't shoot them, they took all their riches, jewelry, and money. Modern day, these poor old people that are so vulnerable, and you have this aggravated and grievous burglary taking place by these thugs. That would be the equivalent. People who break in, either into people's homes or into people's shops. But poverty, like a robber, poverty like a highwayman, poverty like a thief, is on the lookout for the slugger. And what Solomon is saying, "My son, you've got to flee from this. Recognize that there's evil about, and get yourself to work conscientiously and diligently." Are you inert? Are you indolent? Are you lazy? Are you a sluggard? Can your parents not get you up out of bed in the mornings if you've no work to go to? Think of the sluggard. Think of the ant. Physically and materially, get organized and busy. And spiritually, Christian, if you love the Lord, get involved in God's work. Give out a tract. Invite somebody to the services. Tell somebody about the Lord Jesus. Get involved in the harvest field. Sinner, if you're not saved yet, the harvest is passing, the summer is ending, you're not saved, you'll cross the deadline. Because of you being a sluggard, you'll be lost in hell forever. Flee from the wrath to come. Learn from the ant. Listen to the exhortation. Obey the warning. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the lessons that thou hast been teaching us today. We think of that little insignificant creature, like a wee speck on occasions, that ant. And yet, Lord, so much to be learned from them. We pray that we'll have the foresight that the ant has, that we'll be wise and prepare our food in the summer and harvest before the evil days come not. Or put another way by this very same wise man to young people, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years when thou shalt have no pleasure in them. Grant that thou wilt make this day to be a salvation for those. Stir us all up, Lord. Help us to get out of our ease in Zion. And may we be men and women, spiritually and physically, to be men that will have learned from thy word today. Keep us diligent, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In his name we ask. Amen.